So, good evening, everyone. Wonderful to see so many people here this evening. I'd like to read a little bit from this book that we have been reading and discussing, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind by Shunryu Suzuki. This is from the first section on posture. Melissa and David have both given lovely talks about this section, but I've picked out a different section to talk about this evening. He says, when you try to attain something, your mind starts to wander about somewhere else. When you do not try to attain anything, you have your own body and mind right here. A Zen master would say, kill the Buddha. Kill the Buddha if the Buddha exists somewhere else. Kill the Buddha because you should resume your own Buddha nature. Buddha was not interested in some metaphysical existence, but in his own body and mind, here and now. And when he found himself, he found that everything that exists has Buddha nature. That was his enlightenment. Enlightenment is not some good feeling or some particular state of mind. The state of mind that exists when you sit in the right posture is itself enlightenment. If you cannot be satisfied with the state of mind you have in Zazen, it means your mind is still wandering about. Our body and mind should not be wobbling or wandering about. In this posture, there is no need to talk about the right state of mind. You already have it. This is the conclusion of Buddhism. So, when you try to attain something, your mind starts to wander about somewhere else. I know all about this wandering mind in my Zazen. Monkey mind, we sometimes call it. Jumping all around. And it's easy to hear what he says here about your mind wandering as being a problem. But perhaps he's not talking about exactly this wandering of thoughts that I'm so familiar with, but something slightly different. He says, when you do not try to attain anything, you have your own body and mind right here. A Zen master would say, kill the Buddha. Kill the Buddha if the Buddha exists somewhere else. Kill the Buddha because you should resume your own Buddha nature. So, this state of mind that is already here, this jumping around of thoughts, this wandering from one thing to another, is the state of mind that is already here. And if we're trying to attain something else, perhaps a calm, peaceful mind that is different than what's here, this is the wandering about. This is not being satisfied with what's here. And he says that what we should do is to resume our own Buddha nature. Buddha was not interested in some metaphysical existence, but in his own body and mind, here and now. And when he found himself, he found that everything exists that exists has Buddha nature. That was his enlightenment. Finding himself. In one sense, we could say, how could we ever lose ourselves? It's right here. What does this mean to find ourselves? But this is quite a difficult thing, I think, this being satisfied right here. He says, enlightenment is not some good feeling or some particular state of mind. The state of mind that exists when you sit in the right posture is itself enlightenment. So, just this. Often uncomfortable. I find my mind often difficult to sit with. But this is my practice, this upright sitting that he talks about. Melissa was talking, I guess that was yesterday, about this mind and body not being separate, this upright sitting, this being upright. What an important thing this is for me. I get this this image of myself sitting upright in my zazen with all sorts of storms going on around me sometimes. And just sitting in the middle of all of this activity and perhaps being quite uncomfortable with that, but just meeting it. It's not about finding calm for me or finding some good feeling. Just meeting what's here and being upright and letting my experience take care of itself. Is enough. He says, if you cannot be satisfied with the state of mind you have in zazen, it means your mind is still wandering about. Our body and mind should not be wobbling or wandering about. So again, this wobbling or wandering about. I find myself wanting to stop this and thinking that that is the answer to the problem. Because I'm quite sure that there is some sort of problem. This cannot be it. And yet, this is my practice. Not pushing away what is here. In this posture, there is no need to talk about right state of mind. You already have it. Doing our best, meeting what's here. This is practice. And this is the opportunity for opening to the whole universe right in this moment. This moment is the Dharma Gate. The piece that we read from The Heart of True and Trusting says that if you try to stop activity, this will fill us with activity. Just letting my mind do what it does. In another place, Suzuki says we should give our cow a large pasture to wander around in, and this is how we control it. Not by crushing our thoughts, but by letting them do what they do and sitting upright. In the middle of whatever comes. This is it. So, this is an opportunity for our practice of Dharma dialogue. Chance to ask questions or make comments, talk about our experience.
And please sit comfortably.
Christine.
As I listened to you, what kept coming to me is that Beatles song, Let It Be. Because I had this image all metal, and outside and inside. Ooh, I didn't want to feel that. Or, and I really heard that last part is, oh, I'd like to make problems, and I would not have admitted that before. I mean, seen it really even to.
Well, and Let It Be is such a nice. Non-activity. Sometimes we talk about letting go, and that can imply doing something. But this letting be, letting ourselves be, letting ourselves be ourselves, and letting other people be other people. Some great freedom in that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So in that section about the postures, he also talks about maybe a different part, so I hope that's okay if I agree with that.
Sure.
He talks about how to hold your hands, and I'm wondering if there's leeway in that.
Leeway for what?
Well, to place them somewhere else.
Yes, yeah, so every teacher and every school of Zen will have a slightly different teaching. So there's some joke that every place you go, they'll talk about, well, this is the way Dogen taught it. You know, you hold your right earlobe and wiggle your elbow. So we have to be careful not to fetishize some of these things. So I think there is this Zazen mudra, the meditation mudra, And what we find is that depending on how your body is constructed, you can hold it differently and should. And some people even, you can use a cushion underneath your hands. But there is something about the one hand over the other, the left hand over the right, and then the thumbs gently touching, and having this lower in the body that does seem to be helpful.
And it's important to know that in that same chapter, he says everyone should sit in full lotus. Right.
Yes.
And he gives the reasons why. So there is, of course, leeway. And I think in Boundless Way Zen, what we've come to is that we really value stillness, not moving. And we value having a hand posture that allows you to sit upright and not have your shoulders hurt. And so one of the things that we encourage people to do if you're not comfortable in your posture is to talk to a teacher about it and find a way so that you can sit still and upright and have your hands at rest. And there are a lot of variations. But also the other side is, why not try it? Why not try the hand position? Even full lotus. I once had went to a teacher. I only sat with him for one day. And he was wonderful, but it just didn't work out. It was like a
bad day. Yeah, right.
But he said to me, why don't you sit? He was Japanese. He said, why don't you sit in full lotus? And I said, because my body doesn't bend this way. He just, you try. So I said, okay. And then I tried, and I couldn't do it. And he said, you tried. Okay. So why not try it once and then see, that doesn't work.
And the thing that I particularly liked about that section where he's talking about how to hold the hands, right? He calls that the cosmic mudra, right? And he's talking about holding the whole universe, right, in our arms. And that seems so significant to me. It's not so much about exactly how we hold our hands, but we're holding the entire universe right there in our arms, as we sit zazen. Such an important teaching.
And that you're holding something precious. Mm-hmm. I love that part. Imagine you're holding something really precious.
Yeah.
Wow, wouldn't that transform your sitting? Mm-hmm. So the thing about Suzuki Roshi is that he gives these very specific instructions, and then he ties every single one into something much more fundamental, like what Steve was talking about in his talk, this real sense of mind and body as one. That's what we're aiming for here. It's already happening, not somewhere else, and to realize it.
And then holding something that precious and wonderful would be maybe helpful in keeping yourself upright and still.
Yes.
Right.
So
you don't drop it.
That's right. Mm. If you were holding a baby, you wouldn't go, oh, whatever.
And it also keeps it from being mechanical. Yeah. I think that's the challenge in this, and this issue of how do we keep our practice fresh, keep our mind fresh, and remember that this is not just an athletic competition to see who can sit still longer, right? There's something so precious here, some opportunity. So anything that reminds us that this is life, this is love, this is so precious. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Karen. I have a thought that's related to something somebody said, but not exactly in the passage that you read, about sitting upright and still without moving. When I first came to Boundless Way, nobody ever told me that was part of the expectation. And my first session, it was a fairly short one, and I can't remember the name of the place, but it was very, very hot, and there were either flies or mosquitoes buzzing around everywhere. And I kept going like this and wiping them off and getting it off my hair. And I'm looking around and seeing nobody. It felt exactly like what you said, a competition. I thought, are these guys masochistic that they're going to sit here and let a fly land on their nose? What is going on? And I actually didn't learn until significantly later that you weren't supposed to move. And I looked back on all that and I was quite mortified that nobody had ever told me or corrected me. But then I was thinking about what Melissa said earlier, that she doesn't correct people until society.
Yeah, yeah, so we waited several years. So
actually, Carol, there's a lot I'm holding back.
I'll be around for a while.
Good. Good.
But you know, it is interesting that we've totally reversed in a way. All we say when we have to do a really quick orientation, just whatever you do, sit still.
Right? All they told me was to follow my breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there you have it. Which helpful. Is another, well, that's yeah. it. That's another good.
Maybe both could be helpful together.
I think you're right. When we have 2 minutes.
The other thing is what we happen to hear.
That's.
Many teachings come our way. And we don't actually hear them until we're ready. And that is actually not a problem. We just encounter the teaching, and then there's the next one, and then there's the next one. Just in the right time.
We were talking some about this afternoon, you know, why are all these forms and about making corrections and all this sort of stuff. And there's some wonderful ways that the human mind works, that, you know, there might be a sign right in front of you to do a certain thing, but you don't do it because you just don't see it and it doesn't compute. You know, that there's just no way that it sinks in, you know. And it is as simple as we have this thing in the women's bathroom, leave the door open. And there's a sign on both sides. But people keep closing the door, or open the curtain when you're done. People keep the curtain closed. You know, it's like clean up after yourself. People don't. So and then suddenly there's this light that suddenly, oh, I see. Oh, as if the curtains, if I clean up, then the next person. It has to sink in that way. People just don't respond to do this, don't do that. That's how human beings are. So this is. I can't tell you the details of this, but there's a koan that many people encounter, and there's a very famous ink drawing of somebody asking the koan question and demonstrating the koan in the ink drawing. And people work on this koan for a long time, and then we'll sometimes show them the picture, and then, but nobody got it even in that teacher's time. It's just it's right in front of you all the time. And that's what the teaching is about Zen in general. This Buddha nature, it's right here. This is what it looks like. It doesn't actually look different than this. But we're still waiting for the golden light to shine or something. This is what it looks like. It looks like not opening a curtain. Right? It looks like this. That's amazing. Right in front of us. Right.
On that note, let's sit for a few more breaths and go into walking meditation.